This message comes from NPR sponsor, Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
Just a heads up, this podcast includes explicit language. So, Nate, there was a big happening this week. I'm sure you were privy to the experience.
Yeah.
The solar eclipse that everybody took a little bit of time out of their day to experience. I'm curious how you experienced it.
Yeah, the eyes were on the skies. I pulled my kids out of school an hour early, and we went out on the back deck. And thanks to our local public library, we had some cardboard and cellophane glasses. And yeah, we just kind of took part in the celestial event. It was cool. We didn't get into darkness. We weren't in the path of totality here in, you know, outside of Philadelphia. But, you know, it was a noticeable change, and got to hear the bird song kind of emerge, and things got a little cooler. And despite the cloud cover, we had a nice time. How about you?
Yeah, I very briefly was outside. I did not have any glasses, so I felt like I couldn't get the full experience. But it did get dark here in the DC area for a little bit. It's always interesting to be a part of something like this and really sort of experience a little bit of the wonder of the universe, like how small you are in comparison right. to everything that is happening out there, which feels like a pretty good lead into the conversation about an artist that we're going to talk about today. I'm Sheldon Pierce, an editor at NPR Music.
And I'm Nate Chenin, editorial director at WRTI.
It's New Music Friday, so we're here highlighting new releases for April 12th. From a vast pile of music released every week, we've pulled a few of our favorites. The first record that we're going to talk about is one that I know you've been excited about, Nate.
Yeah, this is a new album by the artist known as Shabaka, previously known as Shabaka Hutchings. He is a woodwinds player, saxophonist that a lot of people know from a couple of bands, The Comet Is Coming and Sons of Kemet. And this album it's a pivot to flute, something that we've talked about in the culture more broadly and with one specific analogy. But Shabaka, at least for the moment, he is hanging up his saxophone and really focusing on the shakuhachi and other wooden and folkloric flute instruments. And on this album, whose title is Perceive Its Beauty, Acknowledge Its Grace, he's really presenting this kind of like holistic picture of why he's making this shift. It's an album that takes a step back from virtuosity,
yeah.
from outward intensity. You know, it's a real inward-seeking recording, and it's also a kind of portrait of community.
100%. I think you mentioned the community, and that feels like the most important part here, right? I mean, this is obviously a shift that has started with the 2022 release, African Culture, which he played the shakuhachi, a Japanese bamboo flute, on in sort of pursuit of meditation and ritual awakening. That one seemed more in pursuit of, like, solitary
right.
Alignment.
Right.
This record is performed with input from just a wide array of collaborators. Andre 3000, Esperanza Spalding, Moses Sumney, Brandy Younger, Floating Points, Laraji, Saul Williams, Elucid, just spreading across the sonic spectrum. And it feels more to me like this is a project where he's trying to center himself in his music, along with anyone who is sort of willing to take that journey with him. He mentions that he like reached out to all these artists individually with hopes that they would respond to him, and everyone did. He was sort right. of surprised by that.
Yeah.
But it's I think in the process of working on this record feels like a real sort of statement of purpose. His exploration of flute music leading him towards a greater inner truth. Not to suggest that drums and vocals give a thing more intention, because there is plenty of that on here as opposed to African culture, and they are calling this his, like, solo debut. But I think these songs sound fuller and are clearly vying for your attention, and even your perception.
Perception, absolutely. That's the key word here. You know, this is an album that is, it's kind of an invitation to openness. You know, I think it really casts a spell successfully. And some of that has to do with the difference to my ear between this album and the previous record, which I think is beautiful and immersive in its own right. But here, you know, he is such an alert and generous and in the moment collaborator. You know, like that's been at the heart of his artistic practice, like from the beginning. So to take that skill set and that capability and to put it at the center of this kind of swirling, gentle, you know, flickering consciousness kind of thing, you know, it really takes this album out of the realm of new age or whatever you want to call it. Like, it's not an ambient record. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is not ambient music, even though it fulfills some of those characterizations. It's an album of listening.
Absolutely.
You know, it's an album of, like, collective, creative, spontaneous action. But all of that can only happen because everyone in this ensemble, which changes from track to track, is, like, really deeply present with each other.
To your point, I've been thinking of the album title as a mantra, like, perceive its beauty, acknowledge its grace. Those are, like, active words. Like, you are being forced to take this thing in. It is not ambient music. It is not residing at the background of your consciousness. It is there for you to engage with directly. I was wondering, is there a song on this record that you feel really sort of encapsulates this core idea of taking in the grace and beauty of a thing?
You know, it's funny because it's such a rolling experience. I think the sequencing on this album is top notch. Like, I think the
100%.
You know, he pulls you through the whole thing. So it's really difficult to pull out a specific track, but maybe one to call up. It's really kind of the centerpiece of the album or the pivot point.
Yeah,
there's a track called Body to Inhabit. And unlike most of the album, this has, like, a very clear rhythmic element. And it also has some really fantastic verse from the poet Saul Williams.
Body to inhabit, stars at the feet, Body to inhabit, universe, stars at the feet, time dragging. Forgetting I remember, I forget again. Forgetting I remember, I forget again. Remind me when I come down, suck me when I wake, feed me, I just maintain, or so I thought, look a little different through another's eyes. This, that, and the other time. This, that, and the other time. Body to inhabit, universe, stars at the feet, time dragging, behind the light, behind the beat, update another version. I'm in a Jeep, Hollywood burning, breathing deeper, thought I knew, but not for certain. She says she saw my other face when I'm inside her. I looked around, wiping my saliva. Who's that peeking through my eye slit, showing up unannounced? Who's turning time?
This is a track that stood out to me from the first moment that I heard it.
It does feel like Saul Williams as an artist and poet is, like, sort of directly in line with the energies that Chewbacca is trying to channel on this record.
Right.
So it's completely understandable that he would be sort of, he's almost the most forward voice on this record. Elucid, another rapper, appears on the record, but sort of in this, like, background, like, spatial chanting. For me, though, there's another voice that, when I think about perceiving grace and beauty, that comes to the fore. I think about Moses Sumney on Insecurities.
Thank you.
there's something about Moses Sumney vocals that scream grace and beauty to me. And then in this blend of like breathy flute and winding harp that is layered beneath, you get almost this very ethereal feeling that seems to gesture directly at this grace and beauty that Chewbacca is trying to channel.
And this reminds me, at the 2023 Big Ears Festival, I saw a completely captivating Moses Sumney performance. And then a few hours later, I was standing and swaying to an hour-long drone performance by Natural Information Society, you know, playing on one note for 70 minutes. And I looked over and Moses Sumney was standing like a few feet away, and he was also swaying and vibing, you know. So it's just this like idea of vibration and energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, like these artists are all communicating along that spectrum.
Yeah.
Speaking of Big Ears, I was also at this year's Big Ears Festival, where I saw Chewbacca as a member of the Entourage performing Andre 3000's New Blue Sun music. And this was in a church. It was one of five performances that Andre gave over the course of the festival. And it's the only one, I think, that Chewbacca was present for throughout the performance. And I really felt that Chewbacca raised the game for everybody in that ensemble.
Yeah.
You know, he and Andre are flute bros. There's no way around it. They both love geeking out over this new obsession.
Yeah.
And they have a really fantastic chemistry in performance. You know, you really get the sense that it's not about competition at all. It's really this sort of mutual discovery, listening to what the other is doing and like leaning into it, or, you know, sort of brushing against it. I did not go into that performance expecting to be as like completely knocked out as I was. But yeah, I was converted completely to the cause. And, you know, I think Chewbacca's presence as a, you know, as sort of a source of inspiration and also as a kind of cosign for Andre, I think it meant a lot.
It's funny that their sort of flute journeys have aligned in this perfect way. Andre obviously appears on this record as well. And there's a moment where all of these great players converge on that song. It's called I'll Do Whatever You Want. Andre plays his flute, Esperanza Spalding plays bass, Floating Points plays on it, Carlos Nino plays on it. So you have this like incredible cast of players coming together to form this like cadre of musicians around this flute instrument. And it's like a vortex sucking you in. About 4 minutes in, this sort of like circular melody starts flitting. Reminds me of those buzzers that go off at restaurants that let you know that your table is ready. This transition from being on standby to suddenly being alert. But it's like then it isn't done. It descends into this sliding rabbit hole of Esperanza Spalding bass and chanting Laraji vocals. There, you get this sense that like this thing is so much bigger than all of the players who are involved in it. They are truly realizing Chewbacca's vision of coming together as one and serving this greater sort of spiritual purpose almost.
It would have been a perfect soundtrack for the eclipse.
100%, 100%. That's Chewbacca's Perceive Its Beauty, Acknowledge Its Grace. Our next album is from the artist Maggie Rogers. It's called Don't Forget Me. Funnily, was a viral sensation back when that still really meant something. A clip of Pharrell Williams being moved by her song Alaska during a class at NYU sort of spread across the internet and gave rise to a career on pop's periphery that has taken her all the way to Harvard Divinity School, funnily enough. Don't Forget Me is her first record to not have a wholly personal focus. Nate, what did you think about this record?
I love this album. This is a rare thing for people like us, but my first taste of this album came on the radio You know, I was driving and WXPN started playing the title track and first single from this album like months ago.
Yeah.
And I recognized her voice immediately. And the song was just, I mean, it just grabs you right away. It's a beautiful yearning. And like, it actually took me a few listens to realize how like emotionally devastating it is too, because it doesn't put that at the forefront, you know? Yeah. You have to kind of let it sink in a little bit. But yeah, the whole album feels, you know, it feels like a broken in pair of jeans or something. It's like, it's got a real kind of loose folk rockish dynamic, but her precision with language and her emotional IQ are so present in every song on this album. I think it's great.
You mentioned the folk rock sound. It was co-produced with Ian Fitchuk, who played most of the instruments and worked on the last three Kacey Musgraves records, including Album of the Year winner Golden Hour. I think you can hear his influence on this record like the beaming sounds on like songs like So Sick of Dreaming or Never Going Home or even Don't Forget Me.
My friend Sally's getting married to me, that sounds so scary. Still trying to clean up my side of the street. I can't imagine what would happen, cause I'm still acting out of habit. Hoping dirty words just don't escape my teeth. Oh, but every time I try just a little, promise that I'll meet in the middle. Always find my way back to my feet. So close the door.
That song is just one of those steady chugging grooves that has him written all over it. But the power is in the way that she delivers that roaring hook, the way it builds to the second plea of not being forgotten.
Love me till you're next somebody. Oh, but promise me that when it's time to leave, don't forget me. Don't forget me.
And to your point of it being like sort of emotionally devastating, you are like sucked into the sound of her voice, so you don't really hear it at first, but it's like this really intense song about being baffled about the concept of having a special someone and not really seeing that for yourself, being more preoccupied with the company that companionship brings and not being certain that love is on the other side of it. It's a really, really powerful song that I think is aided by the fact that she says she moved away from autobiographical songwriting on this record. She was inspired more, she says, by like a Thelma and Louise character in her youth. And it's like most of these performances are first takes. Like they recorded initially a collection of demos that they thought would be re-recorded by a band, but decided that in the end that this is how it should be. It was more emotionally honest to leave these songs as they are. And I think you can really hear that in all of her vocal performances.
Yeah, for sure. That idea of like just kind of banging it out, like you can do that when you have people who are in such command of the tools at their disposal. Yeah. And also, you know, Electric Lady Studios. I don't know, man.
something going on over there.
Something in the molecules in that place. There's another track on here. It's one of the less obvious tracks on the album, but I want to get your thoughts on this. I was playing this album again in the car, and my 13-year-old daughter heard this particular track and said, "It's really giving Taylor here," which is not the most obvious connection to make, but this is a song called The Kill, and I wonder if you hear it too, Sheldon.
So difficult, so invincible, irresistible, but I loved you still. You kept my secrets and stole my weaknesses in your white t-shirt.
Yeah.
I do hear Taylor. I think there's a whole class of young women on the edges of pop who seem to be pulling in that, like, hyper specificity, the, like, yes, in the moment presentness that comes with being in a relationship for Taylor in her songwriting. I hear the same sort of thing on and on and on.
Started back a year ago, I know my eyes were closed and younger. You understated, overrated, you were making space for your hunger. You celebrated all your ways, oh, I should have heard the thunder. But all the time you dedicated, it was just a waste of your anger. And it goes on and on and on when you hear this song.
A song that to me sort of underscores the broader theme of the album, like the benefits of hindsight, the wisdom of getting older, the endless cycle of learning hard lessons, but like still being like pulled into that rotation every time and feeling everything so deeply and intensely despite that knowledge. It's really something that I think brings a real charm to her music. I don't think she loses any of the personalness of her previous albums in this move away from writing just about her own experiences, which I think allows her songs to expand not only in sound, but in scope.
The specificity, as we say, is still there. It's just not necessarily a window straight into her own psyche, you know?
Right.
But she has such a vibrant imagination that every character drawn in these songs is vividly drawn.
That's Maggie Rogers. Don't forget me.
Yeah, you better run.
In case you haven't heard, you can support our work and public radio with NPR Music Plus. When you sign up, you can get access to a special feed of this show where you can listen to all of our episodes sponsor-free. You can also listen to Robin Hilton's All Songs Considered and our sister show, Alt Latino, sponsor-free. But don't worry, nothing is changing. NPR Music Plus is just another way to show your support of public media and get some extra perks, too. So please sign up. And you can find out more at plus.npr.org/NPR Music or search for NPR Music in Apple Podcasts. We're going to take a short break. We'll have more new albums for you when we get back.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Progressive. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit their website to get a quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. Then just choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BritBox. Discover powerful new series like Three Little Birds and BAFTA-winning drama Time, starring Bella Ramsey, Tamara Lawrence, and Jodie Whittaker. Stream the best of British TV only on BritBox. Start a free trial at BritBox.com.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
And we're back. I'm Sheldon Pierce, and I'm here with Nate Chinin. We're here talking about some of the best new albums out on Friday, April 12th. Our next album is from the artist and singer Liz Wright. It's called Shadow. Nate, I know you like this one. What are your thoughts about it?
Man, Liz Wright has, I'm going to say the most obvious thing anyone has ever said, this woman has a voice. You know, it always feels like settling into a bubbling hot tub. You know?
Man, yeah.
It's so warm and welcoming and so full of like honey and smoke and texture and like simmering goodness, you know?
Yeah.
But she's also a really, really thoughtful curator of her own work and a wonderful songwriter. And so on this album, we have several really nice original songs and also just a fantastic collection of cover songs, like a version of the Gillian Welch, David Rawlings, I Made a Lover's Prayer. Yes.
I made a lover's prayer. I made a lover's prayer and watched the sky.
And even like the Cole Porter tune, I Concentrate on You, which probably a lot of people will know from Frank Sinatra's version.
When fortune cries, nay, nay to me, and people declare you're through. Whenever the blues becomes my only song, I concentrate on you, on your smile.
It all really fits together beautifully. But of course, again, the voice is at the center of this thing, and it just has like, it has deep magnetic pull.
This is Liz Wright's first album since 2017's Grace. It was inspired by the death of her grandmother, sort of feeling and exploring grief, but also, as she put it, celebrating the kind of love that becomes more apparent and powerful in the presence of loss and uncertainty. I think her voice has a way of just capturing that, moving through that sense of loss. It has such a rich and resonant tone. As you mentioned, she is obviously a great and accomplished interpreter. She's taken on everything from Bob Dylan to gospel standards. But I really was most struck on this record by the stuff that she wrote herself. They, to me, are the most confident performances on an album full of like really subtle vocal takes. She brings some incredible gravitas to pretty much every song she takes on. And I think her covers of Caitlin Canty's Lost in the Valley and Candy Staton's Sweet Feeling become nearly hymnal in her hands. I'm curious what you make of the single Your Love with Michelle Indigocello.
When I think of your sweetness, the love that brought me here, all the times that I wondered how you put away my fear. Now my whole world has changed, baby, in the blinking of an eye. Keep on moving.
To me, it's like, on a really sort of quiet, subdued record, it is perhaps the most groove forward of any of the songs. What was your take on that?
That call, wake me up, right? Like, Liz Wright really did come out of the church.
Yeah.
This is the deepest part of her musical experience. It is absolutely foundational to her. And so whenever she goes there fully, it is all-consuming.
Yeah.
And, you know, on that track, anytime you have Michelle Indigocello on bass, you're already halfway there.
You can hear that thing slapping as soon as she gets going, man.
And, you know, D'Anthony Parks on drums, who plays a lot with Michelle, it's all A-team here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I think that on an album that has a lot of kind of slow, meditative cadence, it's nice to get some of that sanctuary in there too.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, there is so much, you know, as we said, texture and richness in the voice that you can get lost in it. But she's not afraid to, you know, it's not like she creates music where the voice is like on a pedestal to be worshipped, you know? Like she's really interested in like moving people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to your point, that song itself is making this really poignant statement about like using the lingering influence of someone you've lost as a guide through the rest of your life journey. She sings, "I'm going to keep on moving in the rhythm of your love." And both her voice and the bass seem to carry the full impact of that love. And I think that is like what she is holding in her throughout the performances on this record. There's another song called Sparrow that features Angelique Kidjo.
Sweet sparrow, I miss your song. Why have you been gone for so long?
It's about her and her sister sort of facing a great storm. And it has this gentle knock in it that is like a sweeping current almost. And then both of the singers let the full force of their voices loose in two different languages. They're going back and forth.
Our voice is rising, turning and turning, verse over chorus.
Sort of every single "Let It Rain" just like erupt out of her, and it feels like this gut punch. I think even in its quieter moments, it is just such a superb display of an artist who knows that the voice itself can communicate as much as what it's expressing in the lyrics.
It's beautifully said.
That's Liz Wright's Shadow. Our next record is Layla McCallum, Sun Without the Heat. And the title track on this record pulls from a Frederick Douglass speech from 1857. The whole album is really in conversation with many Black feminist thinkers who helped inspire it. Nate, what was your take of this record?
The intellectual scaffolding of this album is so deep.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
As you said just now. She's thinking about, you know, Afrofuturist theorists, and she's thinking about liberation literature.
Yeah.
But I think it almost is a disservice to like foreground that, because this is an album that wears its pedagogy so lightly. You know, it's like,
we talked
about Liz Wright using the voice to kind of like center our experience. And with Layla McCalla, I feel like she's doing a similar thing, but with rhythm on this album, you know, different manifestations of rhythm, including some that nod very clearly in the direction of Haiti, but like all kinds of stuff. And she, for example, in that piece where she's alluding to Frederick Douglass, she really wants to put it in plain spoken language. So, you know, harking back to our eclipse conversation, she says, you know, we all want the warmth of the sun, but not everybody wants to feel the heat, you know,
right.
Which is like, that's a metaphor that a child could understand.
You want the crops without the plow. You want the rain without the thunder. You want the ocean without the roar of its waters. Can't have the sun without the heat.
She invests like the full force of her inquiry into these kinds of lyrics. But she worked really hard, I think, to make them like as plain spoken as day.
Yeah, I think part of the point of this music is that these big, heady concepts should be available and accessible to any person. I think the thesis of this record is laid out in the first few lines of Open the Road, where she's like, I am trying to be free. I am trying to find me. journey of self-discovery, that pursuit of liberation is like a baseline human understanding, right? And everything that is floating around that is in service of it. You mentioned the rhythms. Its music channels Afrobeat, it channels folk, it channels blues, it channels Brazilian Tropicália, mm-hmm. But all on a voyage of self-discovery that to me feels almost selfless, which is such a rare thing to hear. But the music itself is so striking. And, you know, she played so many different instruments on this record.
I became a tree, thought no one could care for me. Standing on the side of a cliff, by the sea, thought no one could care for me. Standing on the side of a cliff.
The first half is picturesque and lovely. And then it descends into this jamming that like builds and builds to this almost like whirring sci-fi frenzy at the end. It's pretty much two different songs. It's absolutely ecstatic. But I think you, in that moment, you just hear the full range, the full spectrum that she is pulling from.
One track that I love for the joyous intensity of the band dynamic is Take Me Away.
Take me away to that faraway place. Take me away to that faraway place. Take me away to that faraway place. Take me away to that faraway.
It's very clearly a song about transcendence and sort of abandon. And it's modeled in the music, especially in the rhythm.
Everything here feels like it's in pursuit of uplift, not just of self, but of community. The song Scaled to Survive, which is dedicated to the poet Alexis Pauline Gums and invokes Brazilian Tropicália, it has this really cleansing energy. There are like little chirps and maracas that are playing throughout it. And then you get this rich purr of her cello that sweeps through in these crashing waves. There is a holism to the whole thing. To your point, it's like it is moving in a lot of different directions, but everything on the album feels like just a part of this searching curiosity in service of this greater understanding of how we can move to be more actualized versions of ourselves. It's clear that she is on that journey for herself, but she also wants to help other people along that journey. It's interesting, she has talked about how she normally goes into an album with the songs and the framework of the album already thought out before she goes into the studio. And on this record, they were sort of building the frame in real time. And in that process, she learned how held she was by those she worked with. I think you can hear the comfort and the trust throughout this record. Like, she is in conversation with so many ideas, written and sonic, but it is because of her place in her group, in her community, along the continuum that this journey is possible.
I completely agree. And I think that sense of building as you go it's actually crucial to the spirit of this album. And you can only do that when you have complete trust. You know, it strikes me another set of lyrics on this album from a song called Love We Had.
When we were younger, our hearts were open wide. When we were younger, our hearts were open wide.
She sings these lines with so much heart. She says, when we were younger, our hearts were open wide. I felt my heart stretching so wide, my heart stretching so wide. And she contrasts that with, you know, her grown-up self and the guardedness and the guilt and the harm that we've done to each other, and just the ways, all the ways that we learned to be protective. You know, I love this because often you hear in songs, you know, you hear people sort of yearning for the innocence of youth. And I think that she would say that it's not so much that childhood is a state of innocence. It's more that, you know, it's more openness, right? There's actually courage in that openness. You know, it's not just a default position. It's something you have to, like, opt in to do.
That's Layla McCalla's Sun Without the Heat. We've got a bunch more albums to share in our lightning round. That's coming up right after this short break.
Every time you drive your car, have a package delivered, or get on a plane, you're polluting the climate. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Nature is powerful. Why don't we use it to our advantage?
Meet the people working on cleaner ways to get around on Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR. Transportation Climate Solutions on Here and Now Anytime, wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's time for a quick roundup of some of the albums out today, April 12th. Nate, what do you have for us?
I'd like to start with an album that actually released a few days ago. It's Tomorrow's Another Day by the jazz trumpeter and composer Jeremy Pelt. He's a jazz musician and has also become a kind of documentarian of jazz culture. But Jeremy has a real sense of the jazz tradition in active evolution. And his trumpet playing is always supremely confident. On this album, he is working with artists like the guitarist Alex Wintz. The aforementioned drummer D'Anthony Parks plays on a few tracks. It's just a really confident portrait of the jazz tradition blending with modern sounds.
My first album is from the band Metz, Up on Gravity Hill. The Canadian punk band is back. If you like the noise of thrashing guitars, boy, do I have an album for you. Their songs sound like crashing through a machine plant in the best way possible, but the cacophony is always colored by this sublime streak of melody.
My next pick is a duo album by the saxophonist Caroline Davis and the guitarist Wendy Eisenberg. They got together to make Except When, which is actually an album that sort of straddles improvisation and songcraft. They're both on vocals on this record with a number of different sonic landscapes. It's really introspective and really collaborative and a very interesting listen. Also out today, Girl in Red, the Norwegian songwriter and indie pop artist, just released her first album in 2021. The new one is out today. It's got an exceptionally appropriate title, I'm Doing It Again, Baby.
Don't you just love to kill the light in my eyes, to make me low when I'm high. Oh,
and Sheldon, when we were discussing Maggie Rogers earlier, I mentioned the Taylor Swift influence, and Girl in Red actually opened a handful of dates on the Eras Tour last year, and you can definitely hear some of that same specificity of experience in her songs.
And our last record is the second of two collaborative albums by the rapper Future and the producer Metro Boomin to release this year, called We Still Don't Trust You. Their first one kicked up quite a hornet's nest thanks to a surprise appearance from one Kendrick Lamar. Nate, have you heard anything about this?
You know, I am new to this beef, and I am very intrigued.
Yeah, well, it happened very quickly. You know, the first album, We Don't Trust You, which in retrospect, probably a fitting title for what has come in its wake, spawned a surprise verse from the rapper Kendrick Lamar.
I'm snatching chains and burning tattoos. It's up, lost too many soldiers not to play it safe. If he walk around with that stick, it ain't Andre 3K. Think I won't drop the location, I still got PTSD. Motherfuck the big three, nigga, it's just big me, nigga. Boom.
Responding to his peers, Drake and J. Cole, sort of singling himself out of a so-called big three and doing so in traditional Kendrick fashion, being the loudest, most chest-beating person in the room. J. Cole subsequently responded with his own diss on Friday, which it seemed a bit more tepid in response, and he even disavowed it at his Dreamville Festival on Sunday, saying that it was the lamest thing he ever did, and he wishes he hadn't put that energy out there. It's interesting to see all of this take place on somebody else's album in the context of their rollout. I'm not sure that this record can supplant all that excitement, but Future and Metro Boomin always bring the best out of each other, no matter what the drama is.
Kicking those, kicking in those, as you like that.
Well, thanks so much for joining me, Nate. It's been a real pleasure getting to chat with you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thanks, Sheldon.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of New Music Friday. We appreciate you listening. If you have feedback for us and you want to let us know how we did, or if you want to leave us hate mail, do that too, at allsongs@npr.org. If you like the show, and we hope you do, tell your friends and please leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. You can subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/musicnewsletter. Please remember that if you want to listen to our show sponsor free, you can. Support our work by joining NPR Music Plus. Just go to plus.npr.org/NPR Music or search for NPR Music in Apple Podcasts. This podcast was produced by Joaquin Kotler and Saraya Muhammad with editorial support from Jacob Gantz. I'm Sheldon Pierce.
And I'm Nate Chenin.
We hope to see you next week.
On NPR's Throughline,
we cannot function for 24 hours without cobalt because it's in our smartphone, our tablet, our laptop. And as a consequence, the lives of the people living in that part of the Congo descended into just a catastrophe.
Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Indicator from Planet Money is all in on video games, not just because they're a fun hobby. Video games are one of the fastest-growing businesses worldwide, worth more than the film and music industries combined.
We're seeing some games that are really taking, $500 million to make.
We're taking a week-long look at the video game industry. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them, and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.